In 1858, the Illinois legislature, they had an obscure statute that sent Stephen Douglas to the U.S. Senate instead of Abraham Lincoln, although Lincoln had won the popular vote. A friend, a sympathizer of Lincoln said, "How are you doing? How are you feeling?" Lincoln said this, "Like a boy who stubbed his toe, I'm too big to cry and too badly hurt to laugh." Sometimes in life, there's not much else we can do but cry. Let's pray. Jesus, come and give us your hope that's greater than the difficulties that we encounter, both now and in the days ahead. We know that you have walked with us since day one, which brings us hope that you can carry us through come what may. Draw us close to yourself. Remind us again how much you love us. We pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our text today is Job chapter 29, 30, 31. As we go through the three chapters, I'll try and highlight the main points. When you were young and could dream, almost anything seemed possible. If you wanted to be a professional athlete and play in the NHL, go for it. If you want to be an astronaut and fly to the moon, don't let anyone get in your way. Maybe you want to be a model or a movie star. Even those who experience such dreams still experience difficulties and hardship. I'm not sure if I told you the story of my aunt, my mom's sister, who wanted to be a model. When she was 17, she moved from the big town of Lamont, Alberta, to go to a modeling agency school in Quebec. From there, she went to New York to find work, but it became impossible. The only way to get anywhere was to sleep with someone, and she wasn't willing to do that. One day, she's on a bus bench, bawling her eyes out, not knowing what to do with herself anymore. A man approached her and asked what was wrong. He listened to her sob story, and at the end gave her a business card and said, look him up, she wanted a job. He ended up being the head of a modeling agency. She ended up doing commercials with Coca-Cola in South America and all over the place. She fell in love with the man who hired her. She had her own sports car, an apartment, and everything you could imagine. She went back home to her family as she was getting ready for the wedding, and just before it happened, she heard on the radio station the man she was going to marry died of a heart attack. She never ever went back to New York. She left all her things there. Aren't you supposed to live a happy ever after life when your dream comes true? In the book of Job, our main character knows all about busted dreams and busted lives. His 10 children die because of a windstorm collapsing the house they were in. 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 team of oxen, 500 donkeys, and many of his servants all gone in a puff of smoke. Job now resides at the local garbage dump because sitting in the ashes gives some comfort for the boils that have broken out all over his body. He uses broken pottery to scrape at it to find some relief. How do we even begin to make sense of the messiness of our world and our lives? Job chapter 29, Job paints the picture of what looks like the perfect pictured life. Job 29:1. Ernie's going to try and follow me as I go very quickly. Oh, that I were as in the months of old, as the days when God watched over me. Have you ever pined for the good old days when everything seemed right and settled in your life, unlike the present where everything is confusing, upsetting, and upside down? Verse 3, when his lamp shone over my head, and by his light I walked through the darkness. Job walked safely through the darkness in the prime of his life. When was the best season of your life so far? Verse 5, the Almighty was still with me, and my children were all around me. These are the days when you take the family picture and send the idyllic portrait to all of your friends. Job 29, 7 to 11, his voice was respected throughout the community. Verse 8, the young men saw me and withdrew, and the aged rose up and stood. When Job goes to the city gate, the younger men give him their spot. The older men stand up in respect. In this culture, it would have been the wise sages that sat at the city gate that you would seek out for wisdom. Job was the best of them. Verse 9 and 10, the princes and nobles held their tongues when Job spoke. Job 29, 11 to 17, he cared for the disenfranchised, the poor and disabled. Verse 12, Job delivered the poor and the orphan who had no helper. Verse 14, he wore justice like robes. Verse 15, he was eyes to the blind and feet to the lame. Verse 16, he was a father to the needy and championed the cause of the foreigner. In these cultures, those who were at an enormous disadvantage were the poor, the orphan, the widow, and the foreigner. And if they ever took someone to court for ripping what little they had away from them, the judge was bought off. So they had no one looking out for them except Job. Verse 18, then I thought, I shall die in my nest. I shall multiply my days like the phoenix. Job thinks, surely, after all this, I'll live a long life surrounded by my children. Is this how it turned out for Job? After being hardworking, providing for his large family that he loves, also being community-minded and serving the area with his wisdom and gifting, and finally caring and providing for the forgotten within society, the nobodies who had no voice. If anyone deserved the favor of God to live in peace, happy ever after, it was Job. But this isn't what happened. Job would have been the valedictorian of his graduating class, cream of the crop, the most likely to succeed. He was righteous in all he did, but the roof still caved in on him. What gives? Job chapter 30 takes us from the good old days to Job's current situation. Verses 1 to 15, it paints a pretty bad picture. Verse 1, but now they make sport of me, those who are younger than I, whose fathers I would have disdained to set with the dogs of my flock. That's pretty rough. He's not even going to let these guys hang out with his dogs. This was a very honor-based society. If your dad was a respectable man, your family were respected. But if your dad was not interested in caring and providing for his family, your family name was not highly thought of. Proverbs 22:1, it says, choose a good reputation over great riches. Being held in high esteem is better than silver or gold. Your name meant everything, for good or bad. But we've just gone through how wonderful Job was in chapter 29. But now the hooligans, the guys that wouldn't be safe to turn your back on, are ridiculing Job. But even worse, their children are making fun of him. Job 29:9, and now they mock me in song. I'm a byword to them. They taunt Job with his songs, these worthless men. Verse 10, they're aloof from me. Don't hesitate to spit at the sight of me. If it were a caste system, Job has gone from the top to the bottom, from the penthouse to the outhouse. Job 29:12, on my right hand the rabble rise up. They send me sprawling and build roads or lay traps for my ruin. Think of every bully you've ever encountered. They're on the same sidewalk as you. They want to make your life as miserable as possible. Verse 13, they break up my path or block my road. They promote my calamity. They want to destroy him. No one restrains them. There is no one to help him. Has this ever happened to you in life? It feels like hell on earth. as you're powerless to change anything. Job 30, 16 to 31, instead of being safe in the dark like Job was experiencing in Job chapter 29, he's being swallowed in the darkness now. Verse 17, the night racks my bones, and the pain that gnaws me takes no rest. Verse 19, he has cast me into the mire, and I've become like dust and ashes. Have you ever experienced seasons of sleepless nights? Or no matter how much sleep you got, you still felt completely exhausted. This is a hard existence. Verse 29, 26, but when I looked for good, evil came. When I waited for light, darkness came. The old saying, no news is good news. It seems like whatever could go wrong does. Verse 28, I go about in sunless gloom and stand up in the assembly and cry for help. When we used to live in Revelstoke, B.C., we could have months in the winter with very little sunshine. There would be people who struggled with depression as a result. The sunshine is very hopeful, but when there is none, what do? Job 29, 29, I'm a brother to jackals and a companion to ostriches. The only companions he had were wild animals. No one wants anything to do with Job. The feeling of isolation is a terrible thing. Job chapter 31 is his plea deal. Have you ever been in a court or maybe watched Perry Mason? Job's going to need the best lawyer money could buy. This case is not going to be brought before a jury. It's a case with just a judge. And it's just Job's luck, God's the judge. In earlier chapters, Job has been pleading for an advocate to defend him in court against God. But none has come forward. So Job states his defense. Job 31, 3 and 4. Does not calamity befall the unrighteous, and disasters the workers of iniquity? Does he not see my ways and number my steps? If the Lord really does see all and know all, he cannot recognize who deserves punishment. The wicked, those who do evil, compared to how Job has lived. 2 Chronicles 16:9a, it says, the eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. Job 31:7-8. If my step has turned aside from the way and my heart has followed my eyes, if any spot has clung to my hands, then let me sow and another eat. Let what grows for me be rooted out. Basically, Job's saying, if my eyes have led me astray to lust for other things, or I'm guilty of sin, let someone else eat the crops I've planted. Could you imagine saying, if I've wronged somebody else in heart or deed, let them get my paycheck? Ooh, that's a little extreme. Job 31, 13, 14. If I've rejected the cause of a male or female slaves when they brought a complaint against me, what shall I do when God rises up? Slaves were considered property, just like livestock, with which the owner could treat however they wanted. But that's not how Job saw them. Job's saying, if I've treated them unfairly, how can I stand before God? Verse 15, he says, they were made the same way I was. Job 31, 16, if I've withheld anything that the poor desired or have caused the eyes of the widow to fall. Job is saying, have I not helped the poor and the widow? If we were asked this question, how would we answer it? Job 31, 21, 22. If I raised my hand against the orphan because I saw I had the support at the gate, then let my shoulder blade fall from my shoulder and let my arm be broken from its socket. This has to do with taking advantage in the courts against someone who cannot defend themselves. The system's rigged, and using it to your own advantage. Basically, let my arm fall off if I take advantage of another. Job 31, 24, if I've made gold my trust or called fine gold my confidence, trusting in money, possessions, instead of trusting in God. Do you know anyone like this? Is this us? Job 31:29. If I've rejoiced at the ruin of those who hate me, or exalted when evil overtook them. I'm going to say that again. If I've rejoiced at the ruin of those who hate me, or exalted when evil overtook them. Okay, this one's tempting. Celebrate the demise of an enemy, an old boss, an ex, a bully. Job 31:32. I have to say this. There was a guy who was terrible in my high school. Really terrible. And so I haven't heard from him in a long time because I graduated a little while ago. But a friend of mine that we were talking about her bullies in high school has since made me aware that my bully passed away. Crazy, right? The people at times that hurt us and take advantage of us. And sometimes we want revenge of some kind. And she just said, Lewis, he's not going to bug you anymore. Job 31:32. The stranger is not lodged in the street. I've opened my home to travelers. No one who knocked on Job's door ended up sleeping out under the star or the snowbanks. Job 31:33. If I have concealed my transgression as others do by hiding their iniquity. Job did not have any hidden sins or secrets. Like Adam and Eve when they hid in the garden. He kept his confessions current with God and others. Job 31:35. Oh, that I had one to hear me. Here's my signature. Let the Almighty answer me. Oh, that I had an indictment written by my adversary. If only someone would listen to me. You read this and get to the end and you wonder, how on earth did Job get in such a mess? Such a train wreck. This is a complete disaster. William Frey, he tells the story when he was in university, he volunteered to read to somebody who was doing their degree who was blind. The guy's name was John. And so they got to know each other fairly well. And one day he asked John, how did you lose your sight? He said it was in a chemical explosion when I was 13 years old. And William said, how did that make you feel, John? He said, I felt like my life was over. I hated everyone and everything. I hated God. He said, the first 6 months, I reclused. I was in my room. I'd eat by myself. I was in total solitude. My world had ended. He said, it was in the fall one morning when his dad came up the stairs, opened his door, and said, John, it's fall. Winter's coming. We need all the storm windows on the house. That's your job. And he said, I'm going to work now, and when I get home, the windows better be on or else. And he walked out, and he slammed the door. John said, he was so mad. How dare he? He's blind. He thought, I'm going to show them. I'm going to try putting those windows up. So he goes outside, gets equipment, gets ladders and everything else. Remember, he's blind. He's mumbling under his breath the whole time. They have a blind son. Now they're going to have a paraplegic too. He ends up getting all the windows in. He found out later on, his father was never more than a step away from him the whole time. In the same way, Jesus did not promise to spare us, but he did promise to be with us. And surely I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Matthew 28:20. Some of you might be wondering if the story of my aunt was really true. Actually, for the most part, people give me a lot of benefit of the doubt that my stories are true, and you know what? They are. Unless I'm trying to be funny. She died last year at 96, had a photo book of all her modeling days. I asked her why she'd ever went back to New York. She said, there was nothing left there for me. Job didn't have the option to move to the next town, city, or state. He's skin and bone with no resources. John Walton says this, although Job's wisdom and kindness had not changed, when he lost his prosperity, he lost respect from those around him. Also, before Job would help the vulnerable and the disadvantaged, but now he's one of them, and he can no longer help them. What a stinking mess. Job's friends implore him to admit his sins to God, and then all might be forgiven and forgotten, and he can go on living his life. But what if Job hasn't sinned? All Job is looking for is some peace in the midst of everything that has gone wrong right over the cliff, for things to be set right, to be vindicated. What happens when a friend of ours or a family member's life disintegrates before our very eyes? Do we finally say, we told you so? I would have never done that. You can fill in the blank. We don't see as clearly as we think we do into other people's lives. We have blind spots, and given the right circumstances, we may have done the same thing. And maybe the same thing wasn't even wrong. Maybe it was neutral or even good. Matthew 7, 1 and 2, Jesus says, don't judge others, and you will not be judged, for you will be treated as you treat others. The standard you use in judging is the standard by which you will be judged. Ouch. Rather, we might be better to embrace the words of James 1:19. My dear brothers and sisters, you must be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. We need to learn what it means to become people of grace, especially when others are going through difficulty that we do not understand. Secondly, what happens when we go through such a trial? Suffering, shattering of our lives, an enormous relational loss, a divorce, a death, a sickness, chronic pain, the loss of a career, or the abilities you love, like music, walking, driving. Sometimes there are no immediate answers. Sometimes only eternity reveal all that has been hidden to us. God can handle all of our anger, disappointment, and grief. There is nothing you can say that'll change how he feels about you. This walk with God, the God we cannot see with our physical eyes, is one of faith. We're trusting that he is good, that he loves us, and promises to care for us from this life to the next. Thirdly, by following God, are we expecting some kind of payback for doing the right thing, such as loving God and our neighbors ourselves? Is this some kind of contractual agreement between us and God? Are we following Jesus out of love or duty? Has his love so captivated us that we're willing to follow wherever he leads, even at the cost of our own lives? Job was living out righteousness or right living, not for the livestock, not for the wealth, not for being counted as the wise one at the elder's corner or gate. He was daily saying no to sin and yes to God because of his love relationship with God, the God of the universe. Are you willing to say no to sin when it presents itself at school, in your neighborhood, with your family and friends, with coworkers, so you can say yes to God, even if there's no payoff? Let's pray. God, we find it so challenging emotionally when we swing from the great highs and the enormous lows depending on our outward circumstances. We pray for a peace that only you can bring, to still the storms within and without. All through the book of Philippians, you promise us a joy in experiencing you, no matter what's happening in the external. And so we ask you to come and fill us with your presence and set our sails in the direction of your love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Everyone needs compassion, a love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of the Savior, the hope of nations. Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. So take me as you find me, all my fears and failures. Fill my life again. I give my life to follow everything I believe in. Now I surrender. Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King.
You may be seated.
I have a couple of announcements, two announcements. They're so important that as you walk out today, I'm going to ask you if you remember what the two announcements were. First one is, we have a big board there for our Summer Jam program, and it's things, supplies that the camp's going to need when it runs in August. And so if that's something you want to do, you take off the piece of paper, go get whatever the supply is, bring the piece of paper back with the supplies so they know they have everything they need. The second is, what's happening after church next Sunday? Yes, the picnic. I love eating. And there's so much food, we won't need to worry. We won't have to, you know, if I eat too much, you'll still have too much. And so this is one of those things we really encourage you, invite your friends to. So there's a sign-up sheet. You can bring a salad or dessert. We'll provide everything else, and the numbers help us to know how many hamburgers, hot dogs, pop, and all that stuff to bring. And so it looks like it's going to be sunny. There have been times where it's just poured cats and dogs. And if something like that happens, we go inside. So it'll happen either way. Last Sunday, it was a communion Sunday. And I had a good friend that talked to me later in the week and said, Lewis, I almost didn't take communion on Sunday. And I said, huh? And they said, well, I didn't pray enough, and I didn't read my Bible enough. And I said, huh? You know what? We need to find a world where we learn to walk in more grace. Grace to ourselves, grace to our neighbors. As you go under the sign of the cross, knowing the one who has set us free, we're free indeed. Amen.
Please stand if you're able for the last song. Give thanks to the Lord, our God and King. His love endures forever. For he is good, he is above all things. His love endures forever. Sing praise. Sing praise. With a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, his love endures forever. For the life that has been reborn, his love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise, sing praise, sing praise. Forever God is faithful, forever God is strong. Forever God is with us, forever and ever. Forever God is faithful, forever God is strong. Forever God is with us, forever and ever, forever. From the rising to the setting sun, his love endures forever. And by the grace of God, we will carry on. His love endures forever. Sing praise. Sing praise. Sing praise. Sing praise. Forever God is faithful, forever God is strong. Forever God is with us, forever and ever. Forever God is faithful, forever God is strong. Forever God is with us, forever and ever, forever. His love endures forever. His love endures forever. His love endures forever. His love endures forever. Have a good weekend.